welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and yeah, I guess we're doing this video thing. I have it on right now. I'm trying to adjust it. It's weird to, like, talk into a mic, but also, like, make sure the camera... I don't know. Everyone makes it look so easy and professional online, and I have never been skilled with these type of skills. So... we're working through it, we're trying our best, and we're doing it. I am hot on the heels of yet another trip. By the time you listen to this, I will be home. However, I had three massive trips in a row: Disney World, Japan, and now Charleston, and the fun does not stop. I have plenty more coming in May and June, and I'm in the mood. I did something huge for myself this week. I did something huge, and I want to tell you about it. I bought duplicates of every single cord that I have, including the beloved charger that I have on my nightstand. It's like a mega charger or something, and it has two little USB-Cs and one regular USB, and I plug everything in there, and I leave it there, and it's perfect. And I always stress out about cords when I travel. Cords stress me out so much when I travel that I bought everything again. And it was annoying and it was pricey because I also don't like to get, you know, like a knockoff Apple Watch charger because I'm always scared that my devices are going to explode. If it's like, I got it in the mail and it was just so cheapy, I was like, I'm just getting the real one. I'm spending the $30. It's fine. I bought all the chargers and now I have a bag of chargers ready to go for my laptop, for everything. So I don't even have to pack them when I travel. And it has given me, I mean, all said and done, it probably cost the same as like a 40-minute massage. And this will give me so much bliss for years to come. I'm so happy about it. I highly recommend, if you've been on the fence, like, this little thing I can do to make my life easier, just do it. Just do it. And I would know because I am barely spending time on ground because I'm constantly on an airplane. This week we are talking about my trip to Japan, but specifically my trip to Tokyo Disney Parks. And while this was originally going to be some sort of recap episode of me just, you know, talking about what our day was like, I decided to shake it up a little. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of this wonderful grand theme park resort, because I'm sure you know why, because all a lot of us ever say are wonderful things about it. But the truth is, there's some stuff about it that is not as good, and we got to talk about it. We got to get into it this week so you can have a real, accurate portrayal of what I think is the best theme park resort in the world. Yes, even standing that high on the shoulders of our brothers in California and Florida, it still has some stuff we got to work through. So stick around. We're going to get into that this week, and I cannot wait to take you along on my trip. Stay tuned. We'll see you in a few. We are introducing a new feature this week, where instead of just blabbing about Mouse Fan Travel, we're going to talk to the source themselves, Becky Mankin, who runs MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Becky is a fountain of knowledge, a gloriously fun friend, and truly travels more than anyone I've ever met in my life. Have you ever made plans with someone where they're like, yeah, I can't hang out then, but how about in 5 months when I'm back from back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back cruises? That is Becky's life, and I'm so grateful to be working with her, planning our group trip, Amusapalooza, planning everything, and also making sure that you get to save money on your vacation. Stick around. I will be playing a voicemail, like a little phone conversation I had with her. It's not a voicemail. It's a phone conversation, and she outlines how many deals there are at theme parks right now. You can save so much money. It is bananas, but you need an expert on your side to do it, which is why I love Mouse Fan Travel. We will be doing a new version of this segment, I think every month-ish, depending on how things change. Let me know if you like it. Let me know if you hate it. I think you're going to like it. I love doing it. And also, like, a segment of the podcast that tells you how to save money. I feel like we're really missing that and we need it. So that'll play later on in the episode. I just wanted to let you know about it in this ad break. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Welcome back. This week, we are talking about the pros and cons of Tokyo Disney Resort. And if you're familiar with these theme parks, if you're familiar with going to Tokyo Disney and having an experience, or if you've just seen it online and seen people's posts, you're probably wondering, cons? Cons? All I've seen are wonderful, wonderful things that are getting me on a very, very long plane ride to go see this fantastic resort in person. And it's true. Things here are pretty perfect. The parks are beautiful. The experience is fantastic, but it's not all gravy. And I want to make sure that I'm not standing here on mic for another episode spouting about how great Tokyo is when there are pain points, there are frustrations, and there are things that I want you to know before you plan a trip or hopefully go here, because I do think it is a pilgrimage worth going to for any Disney fan. I went for my first time on my honeymoon in 2015. I, as you know, as the lore goes, I got into this because I went to Disney World on a whim for my bachelorette party. That was February 2015. We got married in April. This trip that I just got back from was to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary and also kind of like redo our honeymoon again because we loved it so much. We did like a mini version of it, which was great. We went to some places that we loved. We'll talk about that in a future episode, I am sure. But also, when I went to this theme park resort, I was new at Disney stuff. I went in 2015 for the first time. I went to both Tokyo Disneyland and DisneySea. It was my first time there. It was a completely different environment, online, knowledge-based. Like, I didn't really know as much as I know now. I did the hits. They were fantastic. And I have gone back 3 times since. I went back in 2019 and I stayed on property. I stayed at the Hotel MiraCosta, which is attached to Tokyo DisneySea. I stayed at the Tokyo Disneyland Hotel, which was very expensive. I still remember doing the conversion at the check-in desk and my husband being like, are you joking? I think we spent like $900. I don't want to talk about it. I goofed, but still, it's a beautiful hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. And then I went back in 2023. I stayed at 2 different non-Disney hotels. You can hear all about that on the podcast. Went back to the park, spent, I think, 2.5 days there, spent a lot of time there. And then my 4th trip was just now. So I feel like I am primed and ready to really give you the honest pros and cons of Tokyo Disney. And I'm just going to give a shout out at the top because I'm sure going to mention it throughout, but I want to make sure it is on the record. If you are going to Tokyo Disney, definitely make sure you check out Tokyo Disney Resort Explorer, TDR Explorer. Chris Nilgay has been on the podcast. He's a friend of the pod. He's a friend of mine. He is the go-to English speaking expert for all things Tokyo Disney Resort. He has an ebook. It is fantastic. I've used it. I rely on it. I recommend him wholeheartedly. So if you are going to Tokyo, please make sure to seek out his page, his videos, and also his very, very good ebook. And I just want to add one thing. For the entirety of this episode, we are going to refer to all of Tokyo's paid premier access, fast pass style, lightning lane, individual skip the line a la carte passes as vague things like skip the line passes and lightning lanes. We're just going to keep it easy because I want this episode to be straightforward enough where if you seem like you listen to this and you go, yeah, I do want to go here, you can dive into our actual guides that breaks down the 40th anniversary priority pass and vacation packages and premier access and all these different things. This one is just supposed to be easy listening. So if it sounds like, did you forget the terms? No, I'm just keeping it simple. And with that, let's get into it. Because it's not all rose-colored, Mickey-shaped glasses. But the truth is, it's pretty darn good here. My first pro is this. Tokyo Disney Resort is the most beautiful theme park resort in the entire world. And while I think that Disneyland Paris is one of, and maybe the most beautiful castle park, Tokyo DisneySea pushes this one over the edge. I, again, have been coming here for 10 years, and I walked in right now, like literally a week ago, I walked in and almost started crying from how beautiful it was. That does not happen to me that often. It's just, they put so much effort into the design. You really feel like you're in these different worlds. And the fact that Tokyo DisneySea only exists here in Tokyo, there is no other replica of this park. We have castle parks throughout the world. We have versions of things. Like there's kind of a version of Hollywood Studios in Paris. Granted, they are changing it. We'll be talking about that in the future. But there's kind of these like semi-facsimiles overseas when you take the whole Disney park collection into account. Tokyo DisneySea. There is nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like this on Earth. It is like if Disney designed Vegas but had an unlimited budget. It is so beautiful. It is so stunning. You truly won't believe your eyes when you step in there. And now with the addition of Fantasy Springs, which is the newest land which recently opened, which I finally got to see, it is just a park that keeps going and going and going. It is gigantic. And I say that thinking Epcot is pretty big. I mean, you're walking what? It's like 1.3 miles around the World Showcase. Like, it's a big park. Here, you could be in a land and be like, I don't know how to get to that land or that land or that land. I was inside one of the lands and had to ask someone which way to Fantasy Springs. That is how truly, we're going to say the I word, immersive Tokyo DisneySea is. There is nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And even their Tokyo Disneyland park is not worth sleeping on. It is a bizarre sense of deja vu because you'll walk in, you'll see the castle, you go, ah, different kind of entrance. Their main street is covered. Whoa, wild. But you'll walk in, you'll see the castle, you'll think, Magic Kingdom, I know where I am, I know my bearings. Then you'll take a left and you'll be like, oh, am I in Disneyland? There's a New Orleans Square? It's just absolutely bizarre and needs to be experienced in person. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. It really is flawlessly designed. But the con here, The issue is that you cannot show up to Tokyo Disney Resort without doing any research. Disneyland, you can kind of wing it. Disney World, way trickier, but still like somewhat doable, I think. Here, you will lose your friends and family if you don't have an easy point of contact. It is just that big. Before you go, and I don't recommend this for any other Disney park in the world, before you go to Tokyo Disney Resort, you need to look at a map. You kind of need to know the layout because it is so big. You also got to do research about rides because there's many rides at the Tokyo Disney parks where you'll be like, we have that at home. We have a Peter Pan at home. We have a Winnie the Pooh ride at home. But the rides could not, and I cannot emphasize this enough, could not be more different. And if you go and you just don't know, that was my experience. We will talk about in the future with Frozen. Their Frozen ride, very different from our Epcot one. Again, I'm going to save that for future. We will get into a full trip recap one day. But you need to do research. And I am saying that because I didn't do research this time for Fantasy Springs. I didn't do research. And I wish I did a little more research just so I could know which rides I really wanted to prioritize. Thankfully, we here at Very Amusing have a three-part guide on Tokyo, which I just learned is in our top 10 of episodes. All part 1, 2, 3 are all in our top 10. I knew y'all were going to Tokyo. I didn't know you were going to Tokyo this often. So I'm going to work really hard in the next few months to update those guides and keep our Tokyo stuff as fresh as possible. Because again, you can't show up here without doing research. And I want to make sure you are well equipped with all the information you need to have the best trip possible. A notch in the pro column for Tokyo Disney Resort is that things here really are more affordable. You can have a cheaper Disney experience at Tokyo Disney parks than you can back in America. And I want to read off some pricing for you. I looked at all our receipts from everything we did on the trip for modern prices. So this is of the moment current pricing. Iced coffee there is $2.50. Starbucks could never. I got dessert at the Snuggly Duckling, which my friend Rachel designed. I'm so proud of her. But I got dessert at the Snuggly Duckling in Fantasy Springs, the new area at Tokyo Disney Sea. And that dessert, which I split with my husband, was $4.80. Tower of Terror, $10 a person for a pass. The Rapunzel ride that we went on, that we paid to skip the line on, $13 a person. And this is where the kicker comes in. This is why you should consider flying to Tokyo Disney if you are a Disney fan. My theme park ticket was $57. $57. Depending on when you're going to the parks, that could be 30% of an American ticket price. Truly, it's unbelievable. The prices are staggering. And yes, you do have to pay for little things you don't have to at home, like the monorail. But generally speaking, you get a lot more bang for your buck at these parks than you do at home. And it's not just the yen conversion. Things are really priced more affordably at Tokyo Disney. Though, there is a con if you're coming from America that goes right back to that one. Tokyo Disney parks are really not a seamless experience for the American guest. Now, that comes with a caveat. The technology of their parks is improving. There is mobile order now. It works well, and you can do it in English. And we have to take a few steps back to a few years ago, because there was a time when there was no app if you spoke English. You literally could not use a Tokyo Disney Resort app. There was a time when I had to take an old phone and back-end dummy it into being a Japanese language phone so that I could use the Tokyo app. That's what was recommended at the time, was to make a phone a Japanese cell phone so you could download the app in the Japanese app store, so you could have the app, so you could use the Tokyo Disney app. That is bananas in 2025 to even think about that was recently in our lifetime. But we have come so far. I was able to mobile order multiple meals easily in English. I was able to change the orders. I was able to amend them. I was able to cancel them. It was pretty great, but it is still cumbersome, technologically speaking, for foreigners. If you're going to Tokyo, now it's so easy to use your phone. When I go overseas, I turn my phone on and AT&T's like, just give us $12 a day and you can use your phone as normal. And I'm like, sounds good. I used to have to get a Wi-Fi cube. I had to mail it back. It was a whole thing. But if anything goes wrong, which has happened to me, my cell phone service has dipped out at the park. I think because there's so many people on phones, it just can't support it. I had a little bit of that this trip. I had a really big incident the last time I went where my phone just bricked. It just wouldn't work for about 2 hours. There is only Wi-Fi available at the parks at the main entrances. So if you need cell service, your battery's going to drain. Like, A lot of phone-based stuff is tricky there. If you're planning to go and have blanket-free Wi-Fi everywhere, that's just not going to happen. And again, I was on my phone so much that typically I brought one external battery that charges it maybe one full way. I was only there for a half day. If I was there for longer, I would have wanted a second battery or a full big boy external battery because your phone is going to be drained by all of the phone stuff that you are doing. And while we talked about credit cards, on my last trip, the last time I went to Tokyo, weirdly, I had no problems this time. I had no problems with credit cards in the app. The app actually saved my credit card information from last time, the credit card that I used that worked. Not my primary card, my work card. It's my primary card is a Chase. My work card is a Capital One. This one was saved on my profile and I just bing, bing, boom, got to order stuff. It was super, super easy. But definitely still make sure to have credit cards on you, multiple credit cards. Bring all your credit cards just to make sure you have something in case they don't work in the app and it gets wonky. I had no problems credit card-wise for the majority of the day. There was a point where at my fourth or fifth purchase, it kind of booted me out of the app to do a security clearance with my bank, which was unexpected at that point. But I did have a huge technological mishap and it was related to the app itself. It was so bad that I actually had to find a cast member and had to use a translation app to try and figure out what was happening. And essentially, my app, my English-speaking Tokyo Disney Resort app, was not updating. So I had bought a pass to ride the Rapunzel ride without waiting. Thank goodness. The line was 2 hours long, eye-wateringly long. I bought it and I scanned in and I was like, great, can't wait to buy another one. And the app just wouldn't accept that I had already gone on. The app wouldn't refresh and take in the knowledge that I had scanned. And I ended up missing out on other passes I could have bought because it wasn't working. I ended up putting the app on my husband's phone, logging in with my same credentials, and it worked on his. So be sure your entire party has the app, even if you are the one kind of scanning in the tickets and controlling everything. If I would have thought to do that on his app sooner, I would have saved like 40 minutes. And there's a lot of things that go quickly and things snap up fast. So that would have been a huge help on my trip. Technology, greater than it was, still not perfect at these parks. Though, there is something extremely special about Tokyo Disney Resort. And I do believe it is the best park-going audience in the entire world. Now, I've reported on this extensively. I've reported on this for Bloomberg. I would quote the article to you, but I'm going to be real with you. Bloomberg charges you to look at articles. I don't have the final version of my article in my Google Docs, and I really don't want to sign up for a credit card subscription to tell you words I've already spoken. So we're just going to paraphrase. And what I am emphasizing is that the people and the passion, the communal dressing with groups of friends, everyone will wear the same hat, sometimes the same outfit. It is an excursion. It is a day. It is a special time when people are here. And the way people visit this park is unique to Tokyo. It is exceptional. And I just love being around a crowd that is this passionate about Disney. And the culture here in Japan also lends itself much better to a park-going experience. I'm going to rag on Americans for a second because I am one. And while I love us, we are loud, we are brash, and we are pushy. And that is not the vibe here. There is a calm amidst the chaos. People sit for parades and shows. People are respectful of those sight lines. And it's just a bit refreshing for anyone who has ever been pushed and shoved in a post-fireworks crowd. You know what I'm talking about. It's just really nice to be in a different environment while also being in a very, very similar one. However, the flip side of that coin is that there will be lines. When I tell you there will be lines at Tokyo Disney Resort parks like you have never seen in your life, that's still not enough to prepare you for what is coming. There will be lines for snacks, for rides, for everything. And these lines will be longer than you've ever imagined. I am not a patient person. I do not like waiting in lines. And here, I really got to check my line privilege because it is worth waiting for, but the lines will crush you. They truly, truly will. I gave some top tier advice and subscribers that I really want to echo here. And that is that I think it's a good idea to have something with you to occupy the time. Now, I give this advice to someone who was going solo and was asking me about navigating the Tokyo Park solo, but I think it's worthwhile whether you're going with friends, family, whomever. I really think that you should have some stuff loaded on your phone, whether it's articles, an ebook, YouTube videos, and a playlist you've been meaning to watch but never really had time. Anything that you've wanted to consume on your phone, on your device that you just never really get around to, save it and have it in one precise location for when you are waiting in a line here. Because odds are you can maneuver, you can do the best job possible, you can get a vacation package, you can buy every type of skip the line pass they have, but you will likely still be waiting in line for something. And having a little bit of joy or a little, you know, personal indulgence while you are waiting in that line really can make the difference, I think. At Disney World, you know, I'm just kind of scrolling through my phone. It's not that bad. But here, if it comes down to you flying across the country to go on a ride that you've been dreaming about your entire life, but something went wrong, maybe you didn't get a pass, your credit card didn't work, you didn't get there early enough, everything sold out, you're gonna wait in line to actually see the Beauty and the Beast attraction. Having stuff on your phone, having a little indulgence just tucked away in the corner, I think really helps to brave the type of lines you will expect at this resort. And while I don't even want to recommend this, rope dropping is not a suggestion at a Tokyo Disney park. Rope dropping is the only way you are going to get anything done. Because not only will you be first in to get into an attraction, you are first in to mobile order. You are first in to buy those skip the line passes for somewhere like Fantasy Springs, the newest, biggest, best rides you can easily access just by showing up early. And I'm not saying early. I'm not saying a half an hour, 45 minutes. I am talking almost 2 hours early. And I know that's a long time. I know that's a long time. And I feel mentally unwell recommending that to you. But I got to the theme park resort around 7:20 a.m. They were posted to open at 9. Now, the internet will tell you that, oh, Tokyo Disney Sea, Tokyo Disneyland, they almost always open early. But you know when they didn't open early? The day that I got there around 7:20 a.m. We were standing outside for close to 2 hours. I was kind of losing my mind. I thought, oh, you know, they'll let in the happy 15, the hotel guests, then we'll go in, we'll get past security, we'll at least feel like we're getting something done. We were sitting there for so, so long. I could not believe it just really hadn't moved ahead of schedule. The internet lied to me, and I am here to rectify that. So plan on waiting in lines, plan on waiting early, get there early, and it is what set us up for success. We were able to accomplish an unbelievable amount in just a few hours at Tokyo Disney Sea because we got there so early. I do not rope drop at home. No, no, no. I don't go early. I don't do it. I don't have it in me. But for this park, it is worth the early wake up to make sure you can do what you flew across the world to do. It really, really is important, especially if you didn't book a vacation package. You don't want to spend all that cash to make sure you can skip the line and have that in your back pocket. Basically, all you gotta do is just show up early and sit. It's not so bad. Have a snack. Bring a coffee. There's bathrooms nearby. You're good. Just, again, having a little list of things on your phone that you want to indulge in, that you want to watch, that are already downloaded and ready to go, will help that experience just be a little bit better. American Disney fans are used to waiting in lines for rides. That's no secret. We're used to it. But there is an advantage here, because while the lines at Tokyo Disney parks are longer and more robust than you're used to at an American Disney park, there is an advantage to going to Tokyo as an American. And it's that one of the most annoying bits of going to our park stateside is actually setting us up for success at Tokyo's Disney parks, because they offer paid skip the line passes, just like FastPass and Lightning Lane, the things we're used to. But people there aren't as used to buying them. We're over here planning our Disney World trips, booking a hotel, waking up early, 7 days in advance, sometimes waking up at 4 a.m. just to secure a return time to make sure we make it on a ride. You don't have to do any of that. You just have to get there early and get on your phone and book things quickly. And it's great because things do sell out. Popular rides will sell out. But if you are there early enough, you will be able to buy entrance into the most popular attractions, no problem. We don't like to wait in line. We're used to paying. We're used to getting out of line. And while there is a free version, the paid version for the newest rides, the Fantasy Springs rides, the stuff you really want to go on, will be available if you're there early enough. I mean, it'll sell quick, and once more people are in the park, it's going to go. But again, as someone who waited outside early, I was able to go on 2 out of 3 Fantasy Springs rides. And if I did a little more research, I wanted to go in blind, I didn't want to know anything, but if I did a little more research, I would have been able to knock out all of Fantasy Springs just by getting there early. Because we're used to spending so much money to skip the lines, you can skip the lines more easily here. It helps. The lines are longer. But because of that, if you're willing to spend a little more to get more, you can succeed. You can conquer Tokyo Disney Resort kind of easily. I mean, really, being primed to buy a Lightning Lane puts us at an advantage. $10 for me to walk on Tower of Terror? No problem. We're used to spending so much more. I mean, Premier Access for their newest rides is like $13 to $14 a person per ride. That is, of course, a surcharge, which is heftier depending on how big your party is, but we're used to paying that. Multipass and single pass, like we're used to buying both of those in tandem. There is no Lightning Lane multipass here. It's just that single pass. So just spending $13 to go on the newest ride is not so bad. I just think it's an American advantage that we don't really think about. And when you're thinking of how much you're spending to go here, the ticket price is already so low that if you buy a ticket and you buy kind of as many return times as possible, you're kind of still spending less than a ticket to an American park, which ain't so bad. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more pros and cons about Tokyo Disney Resort. If you know me, you know two things. One, I am out here eating an unfathomable quantity of popcorn. And two, I desperately needed new summer clothes. I have been on the hunt for things I can sweat in at a theme park, and Quince has delivered. Not only are their pieces easy and elevated, which means they kind of make me look like I'm wealthy even as I'm actively complaining about how expensive a pretzel with cheese now is at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but they've got gorgeous items made from good materials. 100% European linen shorts and dresses from $30, luxe swimwear, quality Italian leather sandals, and so much more. The best part is that everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than what you would find at similar brands. Quince also only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. There are legitimately so many summertime gems on the site right now. Linen frocks that just scream, Italian getaway! Cotton midi dresses that I've definitely seen similar versions of at like 2 to 3 times the price elsewhere. And they've even got this 100% European linen strapless maxi dress. Like, type that phrase in and you will see what I'm talking about. It's beautiful! Can you imagine it with like a statement earring on the beach? Oh, if you can look good on your summer vacation and also save money while doing it, why look any further? Treat your closet to a little summer glow up with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That means you can decide about the items you get until next summer vacation, which actually is wild, 365 days. They love a procrastinator like me. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. Do you miss that feeling of enjoying getting dressed and just feel dread when you stand in your closet these days? Because that's exactly how I feel. There's so much time and money invested in shopping and buying new things and not knowing if they're going to wrinkle immediately or be an absolute waste and you'll never want to wear it again. And I am so happy to have found the solution to all of this. And that is a clothing rental membership from Armoire. Now, I wasn't always a clothing rental girly. I like to mate for life with my wardrobe. But I learned firsthand from Armoire that it is the best way to try out new styles and items and clothing because in the end, you can buy the clothes that you're renting. And I have! Armoire helped me break out of my style rut and try new silhouettes and shapes that I loved without having to commit thousands to them outright. And really, no matter what you're looking for, Armoire's got it. You can take a quick 5-minute style quiz, choose items from their dynamic, personalized closet made just for you, and have it delivered to your door in as little as 2 days. When you're ready for something else, just swap it out for more new-to-you styles, no laundry required. I speak for many of us when I say our lives have changed a lot in the past few years. And I'm looking at a closet full of clothes that are for a former version of me that no longer exists. I've been pretty timid about trying new things and trying new pants and trying on new outfits that I don't want to buy them. It's too much. But Armoire helped me find a snakeskin skirt, something I never would have purchased, that has really kicked off a whole new wardrobe refresh for me. And I love that I can keep trying new things with no commitment, thanks to them. If you're anything like me, your wardrobe is an extension of who you are, and when it's wrong, it feels off. Armoire can help you break out of a style rut, help you hone in on your personal style, and even make it easier to get dressed in the mornings. They can even help you on your postpartum journey without having to buy a whole new wardrobe in different sizes. All of it. I ride for Armoire because as someone who loves clothes and loves the clothes they own, I needed help and they were there to help me. Again, my snakeskin skirt is so cute. And even though I dress pretty cuckoo bananas, I fell in love with a lime green trench coat and also the perfect basic black sweater, both of which I got on Armoire. So trust me when I say Armoire is for everybody. It's woman founded, it's woman led, and it's beloved by this woman. Right now, you can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. That is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. And since you are listening to my podcast, you know that one of my pros is going to be that this is a theme park resort that takes popcorn seriously. I'm going to go out on a limb and say takes popcorn as seriously as it needs to be taken. There are many kinds of popcorn buckets, and not just bucket style buckets. We're talking popcorn holders that hold the popcorn carton, not the bucket. Like, you can put popcorn in a bucket, you can get a paper carton like you would a single serving and put it in one of these cases so it stays fresh. There are popcorn tongs, so you don't have to use your like dirty, grubby theme park hands, and you can use these little Mickey tongs to eat popcorn. They take popcorn seriously, and that is why I love it so much. There's soy sauce and butter, there's milk chocolate, there's garlic shrimp, there's curry, there's black pepper. There are so many flavors. There's roast beef in Fantasy Springs, which someone, I think it was my friend Heather from Dining in Disney, possibly Disney Food Blog themselves. It was one of them who said it smells like dog food. I've been told the roast beef flavor is not to be advised. But the fact that there are so many popcorn flavors that we can even have a least favorite popcorn flavor is something we don't have anymore. And something I am so very grateful for. There is one con I have been dreading saying out loud because I think I'm going to get a lot of pushback. People don't talk about this online, and it's really about time we did. What is going on with the food at Tokyo Disney Resort? Ask anyone and they'll tell you Tokyo Disney Resort is the best theme park in the world. Heck, I'll even say that. But what is going on with the food here? Is the food some sort of joke? Here we are in one of the greatest all-time culinary cities in the entire world, a place that has excelled at food, at beverage, at all of it. And here at the Tokyo Disney Parks, we're being served cartoon sausages with little bones sticking out of the end. I have eaten at all of the character dining here. I have eaten at almost every sit-down dinner restaurant. I have eaten snacks. I have eaten quick service. I've eaten so much food. And while there are certain things that I've liked, usually curry is fantastic. Anything that's like with a rice on the side is usually a safe bet. But from snack to sweet, most of the things I've had at this park are not that good. They're not that good. There is nary a vegetable to be found. My body cannot survive very long with the little amount of fiber I am getting at Tokyo Disney Parks. I just don't understand why when we talk about how great this park is, we don't demand more of it culinarily speaking. So my advice to you is that if you are going to a Tokyo park, bring snacks, bring snacks. Bring so many more snacks than you think you will need. Oh, I'm fine eating whatever. Bring snacks. Bring snacks. Heed my warning. I packed snacks knowing I'd be doing this rant on the podcast like I do every time I go to Tokyo parks. I packed snacks. Do you want to know when I ate those snacks? Do you want to know when I ate those snacks at the park? I ate all of them before I got into the park. I get all of them before I even entered the park. park. You will want snacks. Trust me on this. And people there are bringing them too. When I was waiting in line for the parks to open, I'm surrounded by people eating a bag of food that they got at a convenience store on the way in. It is what people do here. It is what you need to do when you visit Tokyo parks. Do not rely on the park food. It is not that good. It is not that good. And if I'm the only person that's willing to say that online, fine. I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit. I love Tokyo Disney parks. I love them. I think they are the greatest place in the world. But the food is lacking, and it's time we get into it. One of the highlights of attractions at Tokyo Disney Resort and why these places are so special is it's not just the design, the parks, the merch, the culture. It's not just that. It's the fact that they have some unbelievably technologically savvy rides that we simply don't have duplicates of stateside. And while they pioneered trackless technology with Pooh's Honey Hunt at Tokyo Disneyland, which now we have in many attractions at home, I mean, we have Rise of the Resistance. We have long, hardy rides, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, like long rides using this trackless technology that Pooh's Honey Hunt has, we don't have Pooh's Honey Hunt. We don't have Beauty and the Beast. We don't have this new Peter Pan attraction at Fantasy Springs, which I'm not going to spoil on this episode. We will talk about that in depth in the future. But I did not know what the ride vehicle was. I did not know a lick of information about this ride. And I cannot believe what I experienced. You can watch a YouTube video. It is not the same. A lot of these rides, you really just have to be there. They are that special, and it's a huge deal for why Tokyo is a resort worth visiting. However, I do this professionally, and in my line of work, I often get off a new ride and I'm just flabbergasted. I'm like absolutely wowed, top to bottom, cannot handle it. It happens often, but every once in a while, I feel like I'm supposed to feel that way, and the feeling just doesn't come. I'm going to be real with you. This happened to me on the Pirates attraction at Shanghai Disney. I know that that ride is the best ride there. I know it. Factually, it is the best ride there. And yet, it just didn't hit me like a ton of bricks like it did for so many other people. There are scenes in that ride that we have no comparison to. They are truly stunning. And yet, they just didn't emotionally connect with me. And I cannot believe I'm saying this on mic. This is kind of humiliating, unless I already talked about this in the Japan episode and then we've all forgot about it, including me. But the Beauty and the Beast ride at Tokyo Disneyland, it is excellent. It is an unbelievable achievement. And while I loved it, I wasn't moved. There are moments of it that are fantastic, but I was on it and I just wasn't reaching that height of joy. And I think sometimes the other side of the coin for some of their rides being so different and new and discussed and hyped up is that there is so much hype for these rides. And sometimes when you get there and you finally get on it, it doesn't quite match what you're thinking. And I say that with a caveat that Pooh's Honey Hunt, something I love. There are many rides at Tokyo Disney I love, but I really thought about it in recording this episode. And for me, the rides that wow me at Tokyo Disney parks are kind of the ones that you wouldn't expect. Again, Beauty and the Beast, beautiful, stunning. There is a transition scene in there that everybody talks about is just being gobsmacked by. And it's cool, but it just didn't move me the way that, honestly, a ride on something like Sinbad would. Sinbad is a dark ride that they poured so much money into for a character there is no IP for. And the ride just goes and goes and goes. There are so many rooms in this ride that it just feels like whoever was in charge of the budget was like preoccupied and said, sounds good. Check. Sent it in. It seems like nothing got cut. It seems like the pipeline from Imagineering designing it to what you see, the final product, is a straight shot, is like a Super Mario, like green pipe just dropping through the bottom. There seems like nothing was edited out of it. And these weird, wacky, unique rides, like that Journey to the Center of the Earth, something that we don't have like a massive IP tied to. Even people on the Aquatopia boats just puttering around. These special location only, like you can only get these here, nowhere else. Those type of attractions actually resonate with me more emotionally and deeper than the ones that I feel we are, quote unquote, supposed to be obsessed with. And I say that because I want to make sure there is a lot of hype for these parks and they live up to it. So not everything, as you've heard in this episode. Again, bring snacks. But there are things that this, like the ride that you go to Tokyo that you think might speak to you most might not be what you expect. If you are a theme park person, you might go on the slow boat ride that has a 5-minute wait time and just sit there just losing your mind at what you're seeing around you. And I think the more and more someone visits Disney parks, the more they can appreciate the small things we don't have at home. That level of detail for a ride that hasn't been around since like the 70s is just mind-blowing. And I think that it's different for different people, but I just can't do this podcast without mentioning there are moments that left me nearly in tears at this park, and it was not the ones that you would expect. Now, Peter Pan, the new ride, unbelievable. We will talk about this in a future episode. This is a spoiler-free zone, but wow. Like, wow. Like, again, some of these rides resonate, some don't. That one hit for me. Beauty and the Beast, beautiful, unbelievable, mind-blowing. Applause to all of them, but it just didn't hit me the way that some other ones. Also, Sinbad, if you haven't been on Sinbad, Sinbad is not on your to-do list. I'm also blanking on the full name of it. Hold on. Sinbad's Storybook Voyage. If you do not have that on your to-do list for Tokyo DisneySea, add it now. Trust me. Trust me. Now, if we're talking Tokyo, obviously one of the pros is going to be that this is where Duffy and friends thrive. When I visited, they were celebrating their 20th anniversary. Can you believe that? 20th anniversary. Duffy and friends have been around for so long, and it's just really special to be there where it all began. Do not call the Churros hotline and be like, we had Duffy the Disney Bear as Mickey's friend years before. I know, but I start the Duffy lore where it began as being most successful. It's moment in Asia and then it grew. Okay. I'm sorry. That's what we're sticking with. That's the revisionist history that I'm choosing to live within. But Duffy and friends to be in that park now, knowing how big they are in all of Asia and how big they are going to be when they are at Disneyland Resort starting this summer for the 70th. But to be there is just really special. To be around people who love Duffy and friends is so special. And it really means a lot to me. It really, I just being there, like being in that Cape Cod area, it's hallowed ground, okay? I don't want to be cheesy about it, but it is hallowed ground. But a con is that while Tokyo has fantastic characters, fantastic character costumes, character meet and greets, the character meet and greets in Tokyo are not what you're used to. You kind of gotta beg for it. And while they have standard lineup characters, like if you want to meet Duffy or Shelley May, you get in the line, you wait it out, you get to meet them. The con here is that if sometimes you'll be in the park and a character will appear. And it's not like at Disneyland where a character's walking around and like, it's more balanced. It's kind of like, oh, they were here first, then he'll come to me. Like, we'll kind of work our way around. They're a floating character. They're moving around. No, you kind of have to really beg for it. And this, I realized like how funny this is when on the way out of Tokyo DisneySea, I saw Goofy and I lost my mind. And my husband like forgot this was a thing, even though he like won the chance to meet Woody years ago and like took a photo with him and posted because he won his fantasy, whatever, football, basketball, baseball, who knows, his fantasy sport challenge, championship. Again, it's makeup sports. I don't pay attention to when he's talking about it. But there's a video that I got from this interaction that is me and a bunch of other people standing around Goofy going, Goofy, 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 Goofy. And then if he points to you, or if he like comes and approaches you, then you get to take a photo with him. It's very much like you have to be selected. And there's this moment in the video where I'm shaking a Goofy keychain on my bag. And I didn't realize everyone around me is also like shaking, trying to get his attention, going, Goofy, 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 Goofy. And he chose me, thankfully, which was like very exciting. But if you are shy or if you are going to this park and you're a little like anxious about kind of putting yourself out there in a foreign place, do know this before going in, that it can be tricky for you to get those impromptu character photos because you really do have to be somewhat selected. For personality types like mine, I was raised by my mother, and you know from listening to this podcast that we are very similar. We're not leaving without getting that photo, I can tell you that. And there are lines to wait in line for characters, but for stuff like this, it is a little more specific. You do have to kind of win the chance to take a photo, and I don't think that's something people talk about a lot. Now, my last pro for Tokyo Disney Resort is the one that is probably motivating most of your itch to get to this place. And it's that the merchandise is better. The merchandise is just fantastic. There are niche characters. There are high quality souvenirs. There are fun things, fun designs you cannot get anywhere else. They really got a serious merch game. There is a lot of really good stuff. And I don't know if this video is going to be out by the time this podcast comes up, so I'm going to say it here just in case. Tokyo Disney merch is widely been known as being extremely high quality. All of the Japanese merch at the Tokyo Disney store, at the parks, have been known to be the highest of high quality you can get. Now, I noticed, and this is coming out in a video, and I'm just going to tell you it here now. I went to the Tokyo Disney store in Shibuya when I was in Tokyo, and I was surprised because I thought the quality had actually gone down a bit. I bought a keychain of Minnie Mouse, and I show this in the video, but I could not find a keychain of Minnie Mouse where both of her legs looked the same. Like, one was always sewn in, one was sewn out. It was a little wonky. Same for Tokyo Disney Sea. Now, I always think when you're buying a plush or a stuffed animal, they all have different spirits inside them. They're all like sewn a little different. They have a little different look, a little different attitude. A nose is turned up, a nose is turned down. You can experience this at home. Like, this is what all of the merch is like here. But I've never really noticed that at Tokyo. And I was buying my friend a stuffed Lena Belle. And I picked one up. I was like, this is the best Lena Belle. And I was in line inspecting it and was like, actually, the flower's good and her ears look good. But her torso is kind of strange, like her leg's a little different. And I compared her to a different one and I found a better one. And it was just like, there was a pretty big difference between a lot of the different plush, which is not what you expect. Also, this isn't even the con. I'm just going on a rant. That said, the side con, back to the pro. The merchandise is really good and it is like long-lasting stuff you will cherish. I posted about this. I have my Mr. Potato Head glasses holder. I went to buy a new one and then was like, wait, I've had this for 10 years and it looks brand new and I use it every single night. This is a cherished part of me and I appreciate it. The merch range is so wide that they have popcorn buckets we will never see. They have little items that you will use regularly that are just like add an addition to your life. I got sunscreen on this trip. I got a little tin of little tube of sunscreen. I have all of these Tokyo tins that I keep little Polaroids in. There's just a lot of useful stuff. So many desk supplies that you can use, like stickies and folders and zip bags. There's just so much. And as you know, my favorite type of souvenir is something that you can use regularly. And I love that they do that here. The downfall, though, of having really good merch is that people are gonna buy it up real quick. Case in point, I went to Fantasy Springs on this visit, and I really wanted to get my friend Rachel something special. I stayed with Rachel when I was in Japan back in 2023. Rachel has been on the podcast. As you guys know, she was on the Zootopia episode, and we were talking about Shanghai Disneyland. And Rachel kind of wanted these Anna and Elsa, like, knit stuffed dolls. I think they're featured in part of the attraction. I did not go on the Frozen ride. We will talk about that in a future episode. But she was like, oh, if you see these, grab them for me. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to get her this special little gift. I asked someone in the store and they were like, oh, they're sold out. And I looked them up and they are the cutest stinking souvenirs you've ever seen. They look like handmade dolls of Anna and Elsa. They have plush sized ones of them and they have little keychain bag charm versions. They are beautiful. They are beautiful and they were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found for many things that I kind of would have wanted, to the point where I really didn't buy myself much of anything at Tokyo Disney, like, at all. And this has happened to me before. I've gotten there and been like, the stuff I saw online, the stuff that's kicking around, it's just not in the stores. Or like, oh, they're releasing the stuff I really want in 1 to 2 weeks. So make sure if you are going and you're like very merch centric, know that it is possible that you will walk around and be like, oh no, I don't think I love anything. And that's okay. You do not have to guilt buy things just because you're there. I think it is worth accepting from the start that you may have to overpay to buy something specific from a third-party reseller. If you go, just know if you don't find anything, you can always buy less and just use that money to buy something later online that you really, really, really want, which is exactly what I just did when I got back. I wanted a like a small popcorn holder. I wanted a case. Like I mentioned, they have buckets and then they have like reusable like plastic cases to put around the popcorn box. And I thought that's perfect. I'll put it in my bag. It's not cumbersome. If I'm flying to Florida, it doesn't take up a lot of room in my bag. As you know from my packing episode, I prefer Ziploc bags to an actual popcorn bucket. But if I have a stroller, it's helpful to have a bucket because I have endless space with a stroller. Myself, I wanted that little folded bag. They didn't have it. So I started researching online when I got home and was like, maybe I can buy like a used one from a few years ago, the little fold up thing that I can just put the popcorn bucket in. It has a strap. I carry it like a purse, then it collapses down into my bag. And I found something else that I did not know they sold. I did not know this was ever on sale. And it is a small Donald Duck circular kind of like Tupperware style container. And it is a collapsible popcorn bucket. This thing pops open to fit a popcorn bucket amount of popcorn and then snaps back down to fit in my backpack. I cannot believe this existed and I didn't know about it. And I immediately bought it from eBay. It arrived like 4 days later from Japan. I don't know. I paid like $12 shipping. This person sent it FedEx. I don't know what was going on there. I'm not asking any questions because I got it in my hot little hand. It is perfect. It is the best Tokyo souvenir that I've gotten in recent memory, and I didn't even get it on my trip. So don't worry. If you get there and you're getting a little swirly, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I came here, I expected to buy so much and I didn't find much. That has happened to me 2 to 3 times of the 4 times I've been there, and it's okay. It is worth buying something you really, really want, even if it means having to overpay a little once you are home. And also look up those Anna and Elsa dolls because, whoo, they're beautiful. That, I think, is it. And again, we're going to do a trip recap episode. I have a lot to share with you. Let me tell you, I demolished our day. I did so much. I was texting my friend who runs Disney Food Blog and my friend Heather from Dining at Disney. I texted them being like, you got to see what I accomplished without a vacation package. It is bananas what I was able to pull off. And I cannot wait to tell you how to do it as well. I feel like at this point, if I did 2 days the way I did this one day, I would not need a vacation package. And yes, I went on a weekday, but it was still busy. The lines for some of the rides were over 2 hours at a certain point, and I didn't wait in a single ding-dong line. So that episode will be coming. But while it's all fresh in my mind, I just wanted to set the scene and let you know that while this is a fantastic theme park resort, it's not perfect, nothing is, and just want to kind of gauge your expectations. If you have any Tokyo questions, please call in. Like I said, we will be updating our 3-part guide. I will be doing a trip recap episode. I want to make sure you have the information you need. I truly didn't realize this many people were using my guides to plan their trip. And now I'm like, oh, I gotta buckle down. I gotta help you. So make sure TDR Explorer, we love him. We love his resources. Listen to those episodes or hold tight until I update them. And again, call 747 Tours if you have any questions. Thank you so much. Or as they say in Tokyo, arigato gozaimasu.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Carly. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so excited that now we have this segment. I'm going to have you on the pod and we have so much to get into. Where were you? You were just at sea for many days?
I was on the NCL Prima with a bunch of my agents because I take them on FAMs all the time so that they can actually experience the products and then come back and really fit clients really well to the products that are out there. But after that, I got on board the brand new NCL Aqua, which is a Prima Plus class ship. Basically docked in New York and didn't go anywhere, but we had 2 days to explore, taste all the things, drink all the drinks, experience everything on board. So I just got back from that last night.
Oh my God. And you're doing all of this as how many deals are dropping at Disney?
Okay. Can we talk, 9, girl, just for a second? There were just in Disneyland, Disney World alone, there was something like 23 different offers out there. And I can't imagine what it's like for everybody to try to keep up on all these things. The one that just dropped is for Disney Plus subscribers only. So you can kind of see what they're doing here. But this one is actually really good, especially if you still don't know what you're going to do for your summer vacation. It's in Walt Disney World for 2 nights or longer. If you're going from June 29th to July 31st, you can get a hotel for as low as $99 a night on Disney property.
What? Retro vibes.
You know, this was like
throwback
10,
crisis.
Exactly. 10 years ago, we saw $99 per night, and that's at the All-Star Sports Resort. But Riverside is $169 in their Woods Views, or you could actually get one of the Cars Family Suites, which usually go for over $500 and sometimes for $229 per night during this time period. And are you ready for this?
Oh, my God.
I know. One of my favorite deluxe resorts on the planet, Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, and believe it or not, a Savannah View room for $339 per night in that window.
What?
Yes. You know, clearly they have some availability that they're trying to fill at Walt Disney World during that summer time period. So if you can go, now is the time to grab these great deals because they're probably not going to be there very long. They also still have that free dining plan offer. Quick service for a value or moderate and dining plan included for a deluxe or villa. And that has all kinds of different dates, like June 29th to September 30th, October 20th to November 1st, and December 6th all the way to December 22nd when everything is lit up for Christmas time. But
oh my God.
I know. But the thing you got to remember, and this is when talking to a true travel and Disney pro travel planner is important, because sometimes that free dining plan isn't the best offer. It sounds great, pulls you in to look at it. But sometimes getting one of their 30% offers or something else that goes off of the rack rate and then adding the dining plan is sometimes less expensive. So you really want to talk to somebody who can help look at all of the offers on the surface.
That is why we love Mouse Fan Travel. Thank you so much for running all of this down. This is so much information, and I can't wait to have you back in a few weeks to tell us even more about what's going on.
Well, you know, I'm sure that with 23 offers right now, I'm sure I'm going to have a huge list for you the next time we talk.
Hi, Carly. My name is Melissa, and I'm calling in because I'm planning a trip to Japan this fall with a friend who is not a theme park person, but I convinced her to do one day with me at Tokyo Disney. I'm going to be heading out a couple days early on my own so that I can see as much of Tokyo Disney as possible in case I never go back. So I wanted to ask, how would you recommend splitting the itinerary? What should I do myself for 2 days, and what should I plan for the day that we're together? Thank you, as always, for the great trip planning advice.
Okay, Melissa, here is the deal. I have broken down what you should do in this scenario many, many times. This is like the seventh time I'm recording it because I cannot make up my dang mind. But you know what? My husband is waiting outside the door so he can go to a Clippers game, and I just got to be real with you. We are going to prioritize you, Melissa, because as much fun as you are going to have with your friend, you are going to have a great time even just walking around Tokyo DisneySea, taking it all in. If your friend is not diehard with this stuff, you can show them like one restaurant, one ride, one character thing. You can show them little bits of things all around, but save the hardcore stuff you absolutely have to do for you. Because there are kind of two schools of thought here. You can save special stuff for the third day that you do together that you haven't done yet, so it's still exciting. Or you can do everything the first 2 days just in case a ride breaks down, just in case something goes sour, just to make sure you have it locked and loaded because you have flown this far. But you also don't want to do too much on the first 2 days and then just be like, well, I'm bored, I've already done all this, like I'll show you around this place I've been vacationing at for a few days. So here's what we're gonna do. And this is gonna be the most labor on you, but I really, really think going in with a plan is the best thing you can do for Tokyo Disney. I want you to go through the website. I want you to look at every single thing. I'm talking stores. I'm talking quick service food locations. I'm talking all types of attractions, little, big, all of them. I want you to make a list prioritizing across the board, like put it in a spreadsheet, attractions, dining, things to see, characters, like put it all in a spreadsheet, and figure out what is most important to you. Once you rank those, you can kind of gauge what you should aim for day one, day two, day three. Now, I think you should do one full day Tokyo DisneySea, one full day Tokyo Disneyland, and the day with your friend, I would preference Tokyo DisneySea. However, you said you are going in the fall, and Tokyo Disney just announced this Park Hopper ticket that lasts until September 15th. If you can, I would get a park hopper ticket for that day that you are going with your friend so you can move between both parks. But if you can't, I think it's maybe worth lying to your friend, buying the tickets yourself, and then asking them to Venmo you the charge for what is a total a ticket for DisneySea and Disneyland. And I know that's a little cruel. I know that's doing them a little dirty. But the price is going to be comparable to an American ticket, most likely less. They probably won't bat an eye. And this way, you get to show your friend everything within one day. Again, remember, my ticket was less than $60. So around $120 total between the two, that's a regular like one day ticket for America. So I think it's okay to lie to your friend in this instance. I think it's a little okay. But again, prioritizing what you want to do will really, really help move throughout that third day. Because if your friend is not as diehard as you are, you want to make sure that they have a seamless experience. You don't want to kind of, and I say this, having just gone here with someone who is very patient and is there kind of for me and to enjoy it, but like not really there for themselves. You want to have the day flow really well. So you need to figure out, is your friend going to wake up early enough and wait for you so that you can get enough return times on stuff to get things done? Or is this a situation where you're going to pay for yourself to go on all of the big rides and you'll do that the 2 days and then you guys will just wander. You'll just wander and explore and eat popcorn and shop and just take it easy on the third day. You got to figure out where what is important to you and where that cross section is with what your friend's priorities are. And a lot of it really does come down to how early they're willing to wake up and how much energy they have and how much they're willing to do. So I personally don't know your friend. Otherwise, I would be yelling exactly what to do at you. But I think making a spreadsheet, knowing everything that's important to you and how to balance it is going to be the ticket to make sure you have the most successful Disney day possible. Disney days, because you're going to have three. But maybe leave like one big attraction, one medium attraction to do with your friend, one like little attraction you want to do, but you think it'll be more fun together. And you can always re-ride stuff, but you can't ride stuff that you never get on. That sounded way clunkier than I wanted to. But anyway, I do think doing too much work is going to be the best thing to do. Make that spreadsheet, figure out what you can fit in a day each time, and have the best time. You're going to have so much fun. I loved being there alone. I really loved it. I spent, I think, 2.5 days there alone, so I think around the same time you are, and it's bliss. It's bliss! Have so much fun. Let me know how it goes, and have a great trip. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to my little Tokyo podcast app. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us on Spotify. You can leave comments on Spotify. That's real fun. I love that new feature. And you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Please do. I love to get your calls. We've gotten some really good ones while I was away, and I'm trying to play catch up, and I'll be getting to them as soon as possible. If you are planning a trip, a Universal trip, a Disney Cruise Line trip, an Adventures by Disney trip, any sort of trip, please reach out to Mouse Fan Travel, or MEI Travel is their parent company. They also have Universal Fan Travel for Universal needs. Essentially, they have different titles. They will help you plan your trip for free. They will give you advice. They will find you the best rates. And with so many discounts and so much going on, truly so much going on, it's so helpful to basically have someone like me that you can constantly be like, I have a question. And they will help you and you don't have to pay anything. And they don't have ads. When you help them, when you listen to me, you have ads. They don't have ads. So please use Mouse Fan Travel. They help make this podcast happen. And I love them. And I love Becky. Ah, I love them so much. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And you can subscribe to my Instagram. Like I said, I am on a travel tear and I tend to post a little more on subscribers when I am out of town. I just did Disney World 1 week, the next week Japan, the next week Charleston. Then I have a week off. Then it's Disneyland for the 70th. I'm staying at Disneyland. I'm going full hog vacation. Well, it's not vacation. It's like 48 hours of tireless work, but it sure feels like a vacation when you get to wake up at Disneyland Resort. And then after that, I go to Epic Universe, and then I have a week, and then I have a trip I haven't told anyone about. It is a bucket list trip. I've been wanting to do it forever. I am so excited. I can't believe I'm not actually saying the words out loud, but that will also be covered here, and I cannot wait to share it with you. So there's so much happening. Subscribe 99 cents a month at Carly Wiesel on Instagram. And if you don't follow me on Instagram and TikTok, what are you doing? It's this, but like with more colors. Do it. This episode was edited softly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's me. I just got back from being with Pearl all week, and we had the best time. And I'm so glad that you had a good time in Japan. I didn't see you much, but we'll make up for it very soon. I just burst out laughing listening to your podcast. You are absolutely right when you said how much fun you had with Jamie, which she is so great, such a nice girl, so fun. And I absolutely at that second said to myself, doesn't she have fun with me? So you know me so well. You are so funny. But it is great watching somebody who hasn't done it often, experiencing new rides in a different way to see things. That is exactly how I feel when we go with Pearl at the parks. Seeing her face and awe, watching her look around at everything is amazing. It's the best. But you said, I'm your ride or die. I'm your ride or die. I love that. I love you so much. And I love you and adore you so much, Pearl, and can't wait to see you guys soon. Bye.